This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And I'm so glad you're able to join me today as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit. And Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You know, what a blessing it is for us to receive that divine empowerment, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, 1. "Now it happened while Paulus was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And so they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And now these people were saved and baptized." Verse 6, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them." And how do we know the Holy Spirit came upon them? It says, "Because they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Now, I don't believe that that ceased with the 12 apostles, because Paul wasn't one of the 12 apostles. I believe spiritual gifts are for us today. I believe the Holy Spirit is very much active on this earth and active in the lives of the believers, at least those who are open to him. Because, you know, these people received Jesus, but then Paul laid hands on them and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and they prayed in other tongues. And so, you know, I believe there is an experience subsequent to salvation called the baptism of the Spirit. And the book of Acts says too much about it, in my opinion, for it to be denied or dismissed. And so what significance does this experience have for the church today? Particularly when you compare it to the church you see in the book of Acts. When you compare the church of today to the early church, there was a vibrancy, an excitement, and a power that you just don't see today. Miracles, signs, and wonders, but most importantly, their impact on society. It was undeniable. Acts chapter 17, verse 6 says, "These people have come here, have turned the world upside down." And this is what the early church did. They literally turned the world upside down, or really in correctly terms would be to say they turned it right way up, because, you know, our world was far from God. But this is why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so what a wonderful message we have. It's a message of reconciliation. It's a message of salvation, of deliverance. It's a message whereby we can have a new beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God has given us a message of reconciliation. And I think that's important. 1 John 2, verse 2, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours only, but also for the whole world." This is a message for the whole world. Amen. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Think about that. It says that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives. And that God is imploring the world through us to be reconciled to God. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Praise God. So it's not a message of condemnation, it's a message of regeneration. Glory to God, that no matter where you've been or what you've done or how you have failed, you can have a new beginning through faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 19 and verse 10. "This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." Isn't that so powerful, that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, that the gospel went forth to all of Asia? How did they reach the whole of Asia with the gospel message? How were they so effective? I mean, again, at a time when, you know, they didn't have mass transportation, mass communication. I mean, you know, you didn't even have a Visa card to pay for things. I mean, no jet planes, no cars or buses or trains. I mean, no amplification. And yet they reached the whole of Asia with the gospel. So how were they so effective? It certainly wasn't technological sophistication, wealth, or experience, for the church was brand new. It wasn't even Bible knowledge, for much of the Bible hadn't even yet been written, and certainly wasn't widely distributed. You couldn't buy a Bible in a shop. Like I said, much of the Bible was yet to be written. I believe the secret of their success was found in the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that when you hear people referring to the Holy Spirit as an it, that's most likely somebody who doesn't know the first thing about the Holy Spirit, because the first thing you need to understand about the Holy Spirit is he is a person. So over the next week, there are five things I'd like to share about the Holy Spirit that will help you to understand his work in us today. And I'm just going to quickly start by looking at the first one, and that is the leading of the Spirit. Now, this is very, very important, because Romans 8:14 says, as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So what is the characteristic of those who are sons or daughters of God? They are led by the Spirit, not by the flesh, not by emotions, not by outward pressure, intimidation, or fear, or anxiety, or, you know, all these other motivations. As many are led by the Spirit of God. So we're meant to be led, not driven, because many times I see people who are driven, whether by a desire for success or a desire for followers, or driven by narcissism, you know, driven by greed, by lust, you know, driven by fear. You know, many times people have many different, you know, motivations as to why they do things. But the Bible says we're not meant to be driven. We're not meant to be driven by addiction or dysfunction or, you know, fear. We're meant to be led. As many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you're a son or a daughter of the King, then you will be led by the Spirit. You don't have to just rely on your own abilities, but the Holy Spirit will help you. John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the helper comes, so what's he referred to? He's referred to as a helper. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit who proceeds from the Father. He's the Spirit of truth. He leads you into truth. He also convicts you of lies. He gives you discernment to recognize truth from lies, friend from foe, good from evil. And he's the one who reveals the truth of God's word to you, and he will lead you if you let him. And John chapter 16 and verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is the one who is constantly leading us towards the truth. For he will not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for you will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who will quicken the truth to our hearts. And this is why we need to be open to the work of the Spirit, because too many times we are simply reasoning and trying to work things out in our own abilities, and that's not helpful. And so he is the Spirit of truth. And this is particularly important in a time and an age where there's so much lies and deception, propaganda, misrepresentation, confusion. I mean, we're in a place where people no longer know who to trust, who to look to. And this is why we must look first and foremost to Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We must look to Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to work with us and in us and on us in the daily decisions and challenges of life. Glory to God. As many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so I really believe that, you know, God wants to do a work in our hearts, and, you know, he will do a powerful work in us if we allow him, if we will only surrender to his influence and to his work. And so as I finish today, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would teach all of us to be more sensitive to you, that you would enable us to be led by you, and forgive us where we have grieved you or misunderstood or just done things based on our own wisdom, ability, where we have not listened to you, where we have grieved you. Forgive us, Lord. But we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us, help us, lead us, guide us, enable us, Lord, to be sensitive to your voice, because you will lead us. You said, as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So, Holy Spirit of God, lead us, in Jesus' name we pray. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. May the peace and presence of Christ our Savior fill your heart and home. Shalom.